When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I figure out what song I'm gonna do. Yeah, I'll start off with this one. I'm left to find where I've been going wrong, and it leads me to the things I need at home. And you stand right by me, I know it won't be easy. Can't sleep out now, and it's amazing how this road's a part of me. I remember crying out to my friends when I turned 13. And my mom said, no, it won't be too long. You'll be sleeping at home. Help me sleep out now. Where's my money? Where's my pleasure? I feel empty. It's caught up yonder. In these days I wish the world quit buying all my time. And it's easy to smile, Lord, when they call your name. Just can't hold my head high. Oh, oh, oh. Where's my money? Where's my pleasure? I feel empty. Telling my story, taking my medicine. Well, it ain't holding up, but it's where I wanna be. In these days, I wish the road gets caught up yonder. In these days, I wish the road quit buying all my time. These days I wish the road gets caught up yonder. And these days I just can't hold my head high. Alright y'all, this is Garrett Howell. Welcome to Porch Talk. We're hanging out at the house. We're going to play some tongs and talk a little bit. Sound all right? Yeah.
sounded good, man. It was good. All right, brother. Just started out, man. It's, appreciate you taking the time and having me over.
Absolutely, man. It's an honor.
And so, growing up, originally from Mississippi, Lucedale, right?
Yep.
And so, growing up in Lucedale, how did music get into your life? Was it through a church or just the old vinyls from your parents, or how'd that start?
Yeah, so basically my dad always talked about how he was a musician when he was younger, but growing up I never saw that side of him, and I always ended up playing baseball. I was, you know, we lived on 40 acres, so I was always out in the woods messing around hunting and stuff, and you know, music wasn't really a big part of my life until about I was 8 or 9 years old, and my dad started getting together with his friends and all, and he started you know, having these little get-togethers, and they would play Gimme Three Steps, they'd play Cocaine by Eric Clapton, and just all the old favorites, and shoot, that started kind of showing me how much fun music was, but it still wasn't sinking in at the time. And yeah, I went to school one day, and a couple guys were sitting around, they knew a couple chords on a guitar, and I just I got a little jealous. I was like, man, I could do that, you know. So I told this girl, I said, man, I can play a G chord. Ain't no problem. And anyway, she told me I couldn't. I said, I'll show you tomorrow. I can do it. So I went home, and I practiced and practiced. And I couldn't learn a G chord, but I learned some weird version of a D chord. And I came back, I said, I told you I can play guitar. And at that point, I was just hooked, you know, because a lot of my friends were kind of picking up the instrument too. And yeah, I think church, you mentioned that earlier, was definitely a big part of that too, because that's where I started cutting my teeth, really, like playing whole songs instead of just playing licks, you know. So it's just a mixture of everything. It just kind of perfectly worked out together, and I ended up quitting baseball and football all at the same time. And ever since then, it's been like some sort of, you know, virus or something. It's just got all over me, and I can't get rid of it.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I grew up playing baseball, and I remember, I think it was my 10th grade year, I quit. Because I had been playing guitar for a year now, and I was like, the possibility of me playing baseball for the rest of my life and enjoying it and getting paid?
Yeah.
Slim.
Right.
But I can enjoy this guitar at the house unless my hand falls off.
Right.
I'm gonna do this. And I want to hone this craft.
No doubt.
And, I mean, like you said, with the church, man, that was, it was cutting teeth for me, too. Because, like, with the guy that had taught me to play, he would play locally at some of the bars, and he would invite me out. So I got a little exposure there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started going to church, it was, like, every Sunday and putting a band together, because I had no idea how any of those things worked.
Yep.
And, you know, just what it took, you know, to lead that worship every Sunday, and when you bring a group together and what it takes. So, man, like, as you were getting in the church, to get back on that, is was that kind of solo, or was that more of a band thing?
So several of the friends that I knew that were picking up guitar and taking lessons, there was a local guy in our town in Lucedale. His name was Ron Monk, I think, or maybe Don Monk. Can't remember. I didn't actually take lessons from him, but a lot of my friends did. And so they were taking lessons from him, and they were going to that same church I was going to at the time my friend brought me to. So, yeah, I mean, not to be outdone, I started learning guitar and started kind of learning that. I saw somebody singing. I was like, I could sing. That's no big deal. I could do that.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I wasn't, like, good at it, but I had the confidence to, like, project a little bit. And I think that was a pride thing. You know, my former band members will probably tell you that. So when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I was in a band called Don't Ask. And it was basically me, this guy named Kobe Rester, who's from Lucedale, and this guy named Caleb Barker, who actually passed away when freshman year of college. But, yeah, man, we had it going on, but it wasn't really a matter of, you know, we were good enough. It's just that we had the confidence to get out there, learn a few real songs, and actually perform. And I think that's always kind of been my thing, is that I've just had the
ability to get in my own world during a performance and make something out of it. And to me, that's always been what music is about. To a lot of people, they see that as you're overzealous because you're trying to make something out of nothing. Like, you aren't able to make this happen out of your own volition. You have to get in this own little world, and it makes you a bad person, or whatever. But to me, that's what music is. You know, to me, that music isn't about necessarily the skill or the technical ability of what you're doing, as much as it is about, you know, what you're conveying, what you're communicating with the people listening.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, music is expression. It's a creative art. It's no different than a artist putting paint on a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You're just doing it with words and lyric and music.
Right.
And yeah, I get that, man. It's like, I can get how people can see it kind of zealous and some kind of a volition. That's crazy. Like, we ain't talked about anything like this. Let's dive off into that for a second.
Yeah. Well, so recently I heard that John Lennon, there was a quote, and he said, you know, I'm a musician. If you give me some pots and a pans or like a rock or something, it's like, I'm going to get you something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I can make music happen because I'm a musician. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. So I always took that to say, well, it doesn't matter if you're playing the three chords and you can't sing. It don't really matter. If you're a musician, you can make something happen there to where people can understand that and enjoy it, you know, on another level. So to me, I strive to do that. Even as I do spend a lot of time developing my technique these days, I spend a lot of time learning theory and understanding music as a whole, I still don't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
That's the main purpose of what I'm trying to do. Every time I get on a stage, every time I record a song, you know, it's a higher thing than just making math. You're not making something that can be understood necessarily. It all depends on what you're able to communicate.
So. Yeah. And, man, just from playing in a church to singing to the audience of one, and then, to play out at the bar, I've done both. And, I want to say it was Bob Dylan that, he said he wouldn't write a religious song because he felt that it would have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And that if, you know, if I'm just writing a song, I can say whatever I want about the subject. It's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you see that all throughout Dylan's writings. But when I think about, like, the differences, I agree with Dylan. Like, if I'm going to sing a song about God, I want it to be correct with what I believe. And not only that, it needs to agree with the congregation so mm-hmm. that it can resonate there. But when you have this freedom in songwriting and you're playing a show just out at a house party or, you know, wherever you are at a venue, is the freedom of expression there, it seems to be a lot bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're able to put your own twist on it in a way. You know, when I've just recently led worship at a massive church, and you always felt like you had to be right on the money, you know, every time you got up there. And there wasn't really a lot of room for, you didn't really have a big window for mistakes. You felt like you had a tremendous pressure to really put on an excellent performance. And in some ways that's really helpful, because you see a lot of musicians, maybe on a local level or maybe even on a regional level, that they cannot get their ducks in a row and make an awesome performance happen because they're too worried about being free and being loose, and they're not tight enough. But then again, it's way easier to overcorrect that than undercorrect it. I feel like most people can't even get in that headspace anyways to freely express themselves through music. So,
yeah.
I don't know. If I had to like tell it to like a younger musician or somebody who is just getting started, I would never say go out there and make a perfect performance happen.
Because it'll seem robotic.
Right. In a way, you know, I'm definitely all about learning the song. Like if you're doing a cover song, learn it right. Learn what they're doing. Because if you're learning, let's say, a Dwayne Allman song, for instance, you know, for the Allman Brothers, you need to learn what he's doing. So later on, it starts to, you know, you start to connect and it starts to click. It all starts to make sense. You'll have this next level type thing that you understand. But then again, if you're not doing covers and you're doing your own thing, or once you learn those covers, my friend Greg said this yesterday, once you learn the covers right, then you can put your own spin on it. You know what I mean? So that you're actually still doing the next level musicianship that you would be doing if you were just copying Dwayne Allman, but you're just putting your own spin on it. And that's what music is all about. All of your favorite covers. And I'm actually going to do a cover later on the podcast. You know, all of your favorite covers, they got a little bit of their own spin on it, but they shouldn't be like worse than the original.
No.
You know, so hold yourself to a high standard, but don't make music something that has to be exact. It's not an exact science, you know.
So at this time in your life, 7th, 8th grade with Don't Ask and like covers, I'm glad you brought it up because that's influence. You want to learn that song because you like that song and you enjoy the artist's work. And so that becomes to influence. And like you're saying on the guitar, learn it. Learn it right. Learn what he's doing. And then later when you go doing your songwriting, let's say it was Allman, and then maybe you got into the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere down, maybe you like Led Zeppelin, you got a little heavier. And you take those influences and you can put them all together to make a brand new sound. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Like with a lot of things that I'm hearing now, is like there's a chick that I just saw her, Lily Hyatt. That's John Hyatt's daughter.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And she played at the Sunstroke House. And when I was getting familiar with her music, it was like she real honky tonk voice, beautiful voice. And but her music's kind of like indie, like what you would think, like Band of Horses kind of thing, or even more alternative. Like it's a lot more rock and roll. And it was interesting, like seeing those two come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the best musicians, you look at the Rolling Stones and even the Beatles, they were all covering old blues tunes.
Yeah.
Mississippi blues tunes. That's how they got their start, mm-hmm. you know, and they were just putting that English spin on it. That's what kind of led them to be developed into who they became.
Yeah. And so who were some of those influences, like, in those earlier years that kind of helped, I guess, get you to where you are now? And, like, who are those influences now?
So when I originally started, my favorite music was Audioslave, that Chris Cornell, mm-hmm. Tom Morello, like rock and roll, balls to the wall thing. And I listened to a lot of Led Zeppelin. I listened to a lot of, you know, I listened to a lot of harder bands because I had a lot of energy at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I'm just jumping off the walls with energy. So once I was able to start playing that, the first thing I knew how to do was start a band so that I could just, you know, blow it out. Yeah, I wanted to be loud. And then after that didn't work, it's like, you know, I was like, okay, I don't want to be in another band because that's annoying. Being a band sucks. Well, I started doing solo stuff and I moved to Dolphin Island, Alabama from Loosedale. And I started getting into stuff my friends were into, like the Avett Brothers. Started getting into stuff I could play solo a little more. Like Jason Mraz was big at the time. I really enjoyed his music. You know, I listened to just anything at the time to be that I could do on myself. I'd listen to a lot of Stone Temple Pilots, the acoustic stuff they did. Mm-hmm. I'd listen to a lot of Unplugged on MTV. But as the years went on, I went through college still listening to that type of music, and I began to want to be in a band again. I want to get louder. I want to jump around. I want to actually play lead guitar, because lead guitar is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So I kind of got playing with a band with some of my friends, and then eventually I ended up leading worship at a church in Marcus Point, in Florida. And, yeah, that's where my last band happened. But, you know, I think where I'm at now is the possibilities of music. You can make everything on your laptop, you know. You can create the music before you create the band.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, for me, that's really the only way to go at this point, because I understand what I want to hear. I understand what I want to see. It's just a matter of putting the work in and actually creating the music myself. It takes longer, mm-hmm. but I'm more proud of the product at the end, because I feel like it was made coming from a good place. So, to me, the integrity of the music is a really big thing. And if I had to name some of my favorite artists now, I'd probably be like Max Frost. It's I listen to Tame Impala pretty often. I've been listening to them for like 7 years.
Yeah.
I listen to, you know, I'm getting into Pink Floyd again, which I used to love them when I was a kid. And, you know, today's music is changing, so I try to keep myself a little bit current on what the modern trends are. But for the most part, I'm just trying to be honest with myself and honest with what I'm making. So I don't worry too much about what's modern, but then again, I do like to see what everybody's up to. So
yeah. Well, man, just from what I've heard, man, I definitely see the Cornell, man. You definitely push the voice. Like, mm-hmm. You do it well. Like, one of my favorite covers, like, to me, I always said that one should not cover Prince. And then, you know, Cornell covers Nothing Compares to You. And that was probably, like, one of the best covers I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And he nails it. But I was like, don't nobody else do it now. Nobody else do it. But then again, it might be out there, you know?
Well, Chris Cornell, though, man, I feel like he was really disrespected the time he was alive, because he was such a living legend. And honestly, the way music works is...
You're not famous till you're dead.
Well, that's definitely true. But also, too, like, you look at all the 80s music that's coming out. Before that, you know, there was a lot of, like, rock coming out.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time before that grunge comes back. You know what I mean? And Chris Cornell, I think he just... From all the time that I was alive, it felt like he never got any recognition. And he's always been one of my favorite vocalists.
Me too.
But, I mean, after he died... And now Soundgarden was doing some stuff, you know, before he died. But since he's died, it feels like he gets a lot more respect now from people. And
yeah.
I just think that's a little sad. But... You know, what can you do?
It sucks. It was one of the last shows that he done live before he passed. It was a bad show. And I think the crowd was actually booing. And he eventually just stopped. He was having trouble vocally, hitting the notes. And they were just heckling. And eventually he walked off, walked back on, tried again, and just walked back off. And then later it would be an OD, to where his wife came out and said that... you know, it wasn't on purpose. Like, he had taken some earlier and, like, didn't remember taking that. And then we took more, and that's what got him.
Right.
And that was a bad day, because Audioslave, Soundgarden, I liked his solo work. The Mega Band, was it Perfect Circle? Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
Temple of the Dog. And I was like, I'm good with all that. And... But I'm like you. I always, like, the time he was alive, he was always, it was like a B-lister. In my opinion, he was A. He was top caliber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to say Pearl Jam and, like, I guess same goes for Kurt Cobain with Nirvana, it's like, he's always A when you think. Alice in Chains was always A.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Cornell should have been right up there with those guys.
And he was for a time period. It's just, I feel like, as the years went on, maybe his music was a little bit more artistic than it was actually, like, hit stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can put Even Flow up there all day long on the radio. You can put probably, like, 4 or 5 Nirvana hits up there all day on the radio. But, you know, there was very few radio friendly hits that Soundgarden had, and they were definitely popular for a while, but it feels like as time went on, all they ever played was Black Hole Sun, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, you never heard Audioslave on the radio except for right when it came out.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was really stupid because of how influential it was to a lot of musicians. You know, musicians, almost everyone I know listen to them.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a sad story, but
what can you do?
Yeah, you really can't do nothing about it, but also you gotta realize that there are certain things in this world that you really can't depend on, and fame is one of them, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what level you're on, you can't put all your hope in fame. And you know, I think Chris Cornell, if it really was an accident, you know, I don't think it was bothering him too bad, you know.
Yeah. Man, just speaking, I guess, of hearing people's name, and I guess it was while you were on Dolphin Island. Some of the guys around here, I don't know how you got hooked up with Cam. I don't know if you had known him or met him or how that went down, but I want to say you were helping a church out in the Bayou, I think the First Baptist. I think mm-hmm. you were playing out there. And I want to say a couple guys from Friendship was telling me about you, because we were doing the foundation band at Friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, like, just how I started hearing your name, but then it was like I heard it once, and then I just kept hearing it. And then you were playing out with Cam. Next thing I knew, I was like, you got a couple videos out on social media, and I was like, this cat's good. And so how did you and Cam meet, and, like, when did y'all start playing together? When did that become a thing?
So my buddy, right when I got back home from college, basically, I was playing some music with a buddy of mine, Aaron Ackridge, and basically, we were just friends playing, but after, you know, that band didn't work out that we were trying to get started, Aaron ended up meeting Cam somehow. I don't even remember how he met Cam, but we ended up getting introduced, and I kind of had something that, you know, maybe Cam benefited from, and he had something that I benefited from, and he had the killer vocals, and I was wanting to be a band leader at the time, and also kind of play lead guitar and sing harmony. You know, that's always been one of my favorite things to do, is just take a step back and just play in another band. And, you know, Cam was able to be that front man. He was able to really get out there and probably do a better job than me, especially at the time. So, yeah, I heard him. I sat down. We were in his living room one day, and he just started singing, and I was blown away.
Yeah, he blew my hair back too, man.
Yeah.
First time I heard Cam sing, it was that Friendship. Mm-hmm. And, like, immediately after that, Levi had mentioned, he's like, Cam's going to play with us. And I was like, good. And then went over to his house to just hang out in the living room, and we'd pass the guitar back and forth, and we'd done that a couple of times. And ever since then, me and Cam, we've been fairly close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As close as one could be, living 4 hours apart.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway.
He's a good dude, man. He's
yeah.
Yeah, he's just about as good as they come, man. He's got 3 kids and a wife. He still plays music. You really can't ask more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And his taste, and he changed my mind on a lot of things, because, like, I've never really been a big country fan. Like, when I think country, I just go back to what my dad listened to when I was growing up with, you know, Waylon and Willie and Hank Williams and those old cats. And, like, it was, like, late 80s and the 90s, country music, it just changed. A lot of people say it was, like, with the snap drum, like, when that happened, but I don't know what happened. But, like, the sound and what it was written about changed. And Cam was one of those cats that introduced me to, like, what I would say real country music that's out there that's not on your radio. And it's kind of like that red dirt that happens out in Texas, Oklahoma. And even now, like, I remember, I think Cam was one of the first people that introduced me to Sturgill. And for sure, when he used to cover Jason Isbell a lot. That was the first time I'd ever heard of Jason Isbell, outside of Drive-By Truckers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no idea. And then when he had that little band for a while, like man, Cam was just responsible for introducing me to a lot of music, like Cadillac Three,
yeah,
and Band of Heathens, and I know during that time y'all started working together a little bit, and I had seen some videos of y'all playing some songs, and I was like, man, this is good. Glad those two know each other.
Yeah, Cam, he's always an awesome duo partner, no doubt. I like to hang back when I'm with him, for sure.
Yeah. So, man, let's talk a little bit just about the local scene. And I know you got to get ready to head out before long, and we got some music to play. But local Mobile scene and just some of the venues and some of the guys around town that just need to be known about. Just project a little bit about that, about Mobile.
So I think the local scene, it's really, it's got a lot of hidden talent in it, you know, and I don't want to leave anybody out. But there's the obvious ones, and that would be the Red Clay Strays, and yeah, probably. Those are all pretty decent friends of mine. You know, they're all good people. They're really busy because they're always playing, and we always play on the same night, so we never get to see each other. But, definitely check them out. I think when you're looking at the Mobile music scene, you really can honestly go out on a Friday or Saturday night from here to Fairhope and find what you're looking for. Yeah. You know, Simone French is constantly playing. There is awesome, on Thursday nights, Yellowhammer plays at Brickyard, and there are a bunch of guys that are probably some of the most experienced musicians in this town, if not the most. And they all just get together and party like every Thursday night. And they play pretty like crazy stuff. You'll have 40, 50, 60 people out there on a Thursday night. It's, you know, I went one time, it was 1:30 in the morning. There was still like 40, 50 people there just listening to them. You know, and I think Mobile, the scene itself, a lot of the main people who are around here who still claim this town, they're around here. Yeah. You know, they're you're going to find them. My buddy Abe Partridge, he's in London right now. So Abe is a Mobile musician, no doubt, but he is always traveling. Eric Erdman is always traveling. You know, you can go watch Ryan Balthrop. He's always around. But Molly Thomas and the Rarebirds, her lead guitarist is Rick Hirsch. She's incredible. Their whole band is awesome. You know, I think, and like I said, I'm probably leaving people out, but there are bands sprouting up everywhere in this town, you know, and it just depends. It depends what your priorities are, because Mobile is a great scene for people to make money and not actually have to go do the stressful life of being on tour. You don't actually have to go out and, grind out a career out of town. You know, I've got a buddy named Stefan Sylvester. You know, he's got like three or four kids at the time. You know, him and his wife, they work at a church, you know, and he stays around here and he plays music, and he's got his own little moves he's making, but it's fortunate for him that he doesn't have to travel all the time because he's got a family, you know. And I think with the local scene, you would really do well, for anybody listening, you'd really do well to just kind of get out and Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, go to Cedar Street Social Club, go to Dolphin Street Blues Company, mm-hmm. go to Brickyard, you know, go to Bone and Barrel in Fairhope, go to these different places that always consistently have good music. And you can even go to Ocean Springs, you know, Greenhouse on Porter. There's a lot of great musicians play there. Jack's by the Tracks in Pascagoula.
Yeah. Callahan's.
Callahan's. Oh, Callahan's. Now that's a unique place because that's where you go watch your out-of-towners a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you can... That's the place you go to watch the next level of musicians come through, out of town. And, you know, obviously the Soul Kitchen does a great job. They get the highest of the high-level musicians at Soul Kitchen consistently. Last night, my wife and I had tickets to Wilder Woods, and we couldn't go because I had a gig and played at Lulu's last night. But, double book myself, but Soul Kitchen is always doing crazy stuff. But Callahan's is unique because it's a platform for the musicians that are playing festivals consistently to come to Mobile and not have to sell 300-400 tickets. they can sell 120 tickets or 80 tickets.
Yeah.
And, you know, still get paid enough to travel down here, and they have a listening audience. So, yeah, Callahan's is unique. There's a lot going on in Mobile that a lot of people don't realize. And, shoot, my buddy Ryan Dyer, I'm playing with him tonight. We're going up to Montgomery to play on a driving range. And there's a huge venue up there called Range 231. And, you know, Ryan makes moves, too. He's up and down Nashville all the time. So you really just got to get out. I mean, it's not – the local musicians aren't going to just be in your face. You know, it's not like that. We don't have promotional budgets to just be all over your Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
We don't have the energy to just be putting all our eggs in this basket all the time, because majority of people in Mobile, they just really want to listen to the radio. You know, majority of the people you know and love, they're fine with turning on radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of worthless in a lot of ways for local musicians to just shove ourselves in your face. But then again, if you care about your local scene and the art in your scene, I think you should definitely support, you know, not only the musicians, but anybody who's bringing something unique to this town.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, man. I know Mobile, it's definitely unique. When I lived down here, I was down here right at 6 years. And especially the last 2 years, just paying more attention to the local scene. And it was the first time I heard Red Clay Strays. I saw them out at the Riddies on the island. And it was a great show. I can't wait to see them again. And like Callahan's, tomorrow night it'll be too late for those of you listening. But my friend Pony Bradshaw, they're playing at Callahan's. And he's amazing. And, I mean, Mobile is constantly, and it seems like it gets better every year as far as the out-of-towners, but I know Soul Kitchen's been doing it for years. And even had Leon Bridges at the...
Singer.
At the Singer. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so it seems like the scene here is constantly growing, but the locality of it, it seems to be... It's fairly inclusive as far as, like, being in the know. And, like, so Columbus, Starkville, and Tuscaloosa, the area I'm at, it's easy to run a circuit. They're all fairly an hour outside of each other, and it's easy to line things up. And here, like you say, it's easy just to be here. You don't have to. You don't have to leave. And so Mobile is an interesting place, man, musically. And I loved Pharrell Gibbs on Hand the Monster. I think he does a really good job with his podcast of, like, really, and he's had a lot of the guys that you mentioned, A. Partridge and those cats of just...
Shoot, Early James. He had Early James in the latest on there.
Yeah.
And Early's getting his next album produced by Dan Auerbach. He played a festival with Dan Auerbach playing lead for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played the Americana Fest in Nashville. Dan Auerbach's just sitting there playing lead for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, this is it's a cool scene. And so if you ever find yourself on the coast, maybe stopping through just to go to the beach, hey, maybe leave a couple hours earlier, a day earlier, and come check out this music scene. Well, brother, you want to break off into a song?
Sure, I'll play another. But yeah, I'm going to do a cover song, I guess. So this is a Ray LaMontagne song, Jolene.
Nice.
Kind of out of tune, but I have to deal with it. Cocaine flame in my bloodstream. Sold my coke when I hit Spokane. I bought myself a hard pack of cigarettes in the early morning rain. Lately my hands, they don't feel like mine. Eyes been stung with dust and blinds. Held you in my arms one time. Lost you just the same. I ain't about to go.
straight. It's too late. I found myself face down in the ditch, booze in my hair, blood on my lips, with a picture of you holding a picture of me in the pocket of my blue jeans. I still don't know what love means. I still don't know what love means. You're linking. You're linking. Been so long since I've seen your face. Felt like part of this human race. I've been living out of this here suitcase for way too long. Man needs something he can hold on to. 9-pound hammer or a woman like you. Either one of those things will do. Jolene, I ain't about to go straight. It's too late. I found myself face down in the ditch. Booze on my hair, blood on my lips. A picture of you holding a picture of me in the pocket of my blue jeans. I still don't know what love means. I still don't know what love means. Jolene, fa la 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 la. Jolene, fa la la la.
That's one of my favorite Ray LaMontagne songs.
Yeah, Ray LaMontagne. That's another big influence for me, I guess, down the pipe. I was thinking the other day, I was like, I have like 150 probably artists that I just really love.
Yeah.
You know, and I really can't even decide between them. And that sucks because I can't ever talk about my influences, but I probably have at least 100, maybe 150 people that I just love, and I can listen to their stuff back to back.
Yeah, like Ray, Damien Rice, Amos Lee, Leon Bridges. Like when I think, like, I just got playlists, and like when those come up, I'm like, we're gonna be here for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Those cats, and then like with bands, man. Sometimes it'll be classic rock. Like I might go on a classic rock binge for like 2 or 3 months at a time. And, you know, anywhere from the 70s to early 80s, and just hang there for a while. And then it may be a more alternative. Maybe it may go grunge, you know. Uh-huh. I don't know where it's going to go. But I'm like you, man. It's difficult to talk about influence. I can tell you, I could sit down, play you a cover, and be like, I learned this probably when I was about 18. I was real heavy into the alternative scene.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm playing it. But
right.
Yeah. Good choice, dude. Jolene. For the longest time, man, like, I got that song confused with Dolly Parton's. And I don't know how, because it's about totally different things.
Right, but a lot of people do. They're like, oh, Ray LaMontagne covered Dolly Parton, you know.
Man, you gotta listen to it.
Because I guess most people don't know a Jolene.
Yeah.
So it does seem odd that Ray LaMontagne and Dolly know a Jolene. Either that, or that's just a generation that we don't know about, because I honestly never met a Jolene.
Yeah.
Have you?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think anybody really knows a Jolene, so it's just crazy that Ray would write a song about somebody named Jolene. I think in a lot of people's minds, but
yeah.
Anyway, I prefer Ray's version.
Anything else to add or subtract that we didn't touch on? Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. I guess just y'all look out. You know, I'm definitely, I've got some stuff coming down the pipe. They're going to be pretty big, for me at least, hopefully. And if not, there's a ton of great musicians. I definitely recommend looking up some local artists and keeping up them local to the Mobile area. But I consider Montgomery and Birmingham, you know, I consider them just as much almost a part as what we have going on. Yeah. Because we're all Alabama, and anything that makes Alabama better, I'm all about that. So
yes, sir.
You know, but I might come out with some stuff relatively soon. But in the meantime, definitely get out there and support. A lot of these artists, they don't have the resources, the means to, you know, go on big tours or necessarily pack out a place. So anybody that takes an interest in a local artist, that's invaluable to them. You know, anybody who wants to buy a shirt, anybody who wants to buy a ticket, you can't even put a price tag on that. Because yep. A lot of these artists, when they're first getting started and that are, you know, stay to a local scene, they spend almost as much time as you would think a pro artist would on their music. They just don't have the same platform, you know. So that's the only thing I could say.
I don't know. Like, one thing about that, man, it's crazy to me is as I've been doing this podcast and just as I get to know just some musicians who have been in the game for a while. And when we go back and just talk the years, it's they've been doing it since they were 7, 8 years old. And they were first on the scene by the time they were 16 or old enough to get allowed into play. And then you're just now, like, fairly known at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy to me that, you know, sometimes it's a 15-year off and on again, different bands, different iterations, different influences, different styles of writing, and then they finally start, you know, it's like they start getting up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's music is an interesting thing, man. Just not a trade I would recommend if you think you're going to make a lot of money. That there is a possibility, but it definitely, I believe it's more heart. You need a ton of that more than anything.
Yeah, you gotta do it for the love of it, or else you're going to end up bitter, because it's not going to treat you all that well if you don't do it for the love of it. Now, unless you've got some mega super deal out in Los Angeles and, you know, some rich parents, then you don't have to have that much heart. But even then, I'd probably just try to do something else other than this.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm going to run out to the truck and grab my guitar, and we can go have a little back and forth. And you got time? You want to play a little lead?
Yeah, we can chill, yeah.
Cool.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I'd ask that you would rate or review the show however it is that you listen to it, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Spotify, however it is you do what you do. If you would rate and review it, thank you in advance. As far as notes go, me and Garrett jammed out to some original tunes I had written, one unfinished called These and Those Days, and a song you've heard on episodes gone by called Georgia. So I'll hang on to that for now. But what I will close with is Pony Bradshaw. He just played at Callahan's in Mobile this past Sunday. We recorded this on Saturday. And so Pony will be in Tupelo tomorrow, Tuesday, and the Blue Canoe. And so we'll be hanging out there. And so I haven't seen him or Cody Ray play. It's been about a year, and so I'm excited to see that. And so that'll be the close. And so I'm going to get on out of here with a song called Didn't It Rain? Hey guys, peace out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.